This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Asylum seekers at the border. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, April 30th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
A group of about 200 migrants from Central America has completed a journey across Mexico and reached the U.S. border, but officials say they can't be processed right now.
Perhaps the third time is the charm. T-Mobile has reached an agreement to buy Sprint for $26 billion.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the U.S. wants proof that North Korea is delivering on its weekend pledge to dismantle its nuclear program.
And how stocks might take a hit if there's a Democratic sweep in November.
Well, look, stocks are struggling this year. They're flat or maybe down a little bit. And you have to ask yourself, why might this be? People think, earnings are coming in strong as expected. And yet, you know, the stock market generally is not rallying in response to that.
Yahoo Finance writer Rick Newman with midterm election analysis in about 10 minutes. The U.S. wireless market may soon be dominated by only three players. T-Mobile has reached a deal to buy Sprint for $26 billion, the third time in the last 4 years the two rivals have tried to merge. Under the proposal, T-Mobile, which has a market value of $55 billion, would take control of Sprint, which has about half that value. The company said they hope to close the deal in the first half of 2019. T-Mobile CEO John Legere.
It's critically important that America and American companies lead in the 5G era. This will result in huge economic stimulus for the United States.
Joining forces would create a wireless provider in the same class as Verizon, which has about 116 million wireless customers in the U.S. AT&T has about 93 million. T-Mobile and Sprint would have a combined total of about 100 million customers. Wireless executives have long complained that there are fewer ways to grow profits now that nearly every American adult and many of their children owns a smartphone. They hold on to those devices for longer, cutting into equipment sales. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has vowed to shut down his nuclear test site in Pyongyang. But U.S. officials are urging caution about his weekend announcement, saying the dismantling of the North's weapons program must be irreversible and verifiable. During a summit meeting Friday with South Korean President Moon Jae-in, Mr. Kim also reaffirmed his willingness to give up his nuclear weapons in exchange for a security guarantee from the U.S. On ABC's This Week, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he welcomed the talks between the Korean leaders.
I think it's a big deal. It's important. Every step along the way matters. The objective remains the same, complete, verifiable, irreversible denuclearization.
The move by Mr. Kim comes as relations warm up between the Koreas ahead of a planned summit between Mr. Kim and President Trump aimed at persuading the regime to relinquish its nuclear arsenal. The Wall Street Journal says establishing a verification system is expected to be among the most difficult elements of an agreement with the Kim regime. A group of nearly 200 migrants from Central America has reached the U.S. border crossing in Tijuana, Mexico. But U.S. Customs and Border Protection said the crossing was full and could not process asylum seekers. The Wall Street Journal says the first 50 people who went through the gates yesterday and into the port were told they would have to wait until there is more capacity. Half the group of children and adults waited on a pedestrian bridge connecting the U.S. and Mexican ports. The remaining migrants, more than 100 people, plan to spend the night in the plaza on the Mexican side of the border. Immigration lawyer Nicole Ramos spoke at a rally yesterday.
Stop rejecting asylum seekers who try to present themselves at the port of entry. You know what you're doing. You know you turn people away. You complain that they are breaking the law by entering illegally. You are breaking the law, and you are forcing them to break the law.
On Saturday, San Diego Chief Patrol Agent Rodney Scott says several groups of people associated with the caravan had illegally crossed the border by climbing over a scrap metal fence. They were arrested. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday. Stocks have gone nowhere this year, despite generally good news on corporate profits and economic fundamentals. And now, the midterm elections, less than 7 months away, may be starting to weigh on share prices. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman is here with a snapshot of stocks and midterms. Rick, how do you see it?
Well, look, stocks are struggling this year. They're flat or maybe down a little bit. And you have to ask yourself, why might this be? You know, people think, look, earnings are coming in strong as expected. And yet, you know, the stock market generally is not rallying in response to that. One thing we know is that stocks generally struggle in the 6 months leading up to a midterm election. And we are just about to enter that window. So the majority of the time, stocks actually decline by a little bit in the 6 months leading up to a midterm election, especially if it seems like something might change. And it certainly does seem like something might change this time around, which something is that Democrats could gain control of the House of Representatives at a minimum, and that means that we would no longer have unified Republican control of the government, and that would change what is possible or likely in terms of policies. So it's hard to exactly pinpoint how that might change policies, but what investors know is things could change. That is the famous uncertainty, which markets don't like, and that could be a factor in what's going on with the stock markets that's just going sideways this year.
You said, too, though, that stocks do tend to rally as the midterm actually draws near.
Yeah, it's interesting. So these are just historical patterns. So what seems to happen in midterm years is that investors just kind of sit on the sidelines, and there's no real sort of buying power in this six-month period leading up to a midterm election, which generally sends stocks down a little bit. But then what happens in around October is some people start to say, you know what, I think this is a dip buying opportunity because once the election's over, it doesn't matter so much who the winner is, but once we're past the election, well, we will have certainty again about who's in control of government. And that in itself will ease a little bit of the pressure on stocks. So some investors try to front run that bump that they anticipate by buying in October. So we tend to see rallies in October leading up to a midterm election. And then the fourth quarter of midterm years generally ends up being pretty strong because there is a rally. Will that happen again this year? Very hard to tell. And I think maybe not. I think maybe that will not be the pattern this year because Democratic policies are not, you know, if the Democrats do regain some control of government, there are no Democratic policies or prominent Democratic policies that investors really like or that they think will help the stock market. They do think that, the Republicans' deregulatory agenda is good for stocks. The Democrats could block that. There's been talk of further tax cuts, which Democrats probably would also block.
Yeah.
So, while reserving judgment on whether Democratic policies or the things they might run on in the election are good or bad for the country, I think there is some mild sentiment among investors that those policies, those Democratic policies, would not necessarily be good for stocks.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Generally speaking, do investors quietly cheer for gridlock or a mixed government?
That's a good question. I think investors can't make up their mind on this. There is this sort of slogan that gridlock is good for the stock market because, basically when nothing changes, you don't have to adjust to new policies.
Yeah.
But it's also true that there could be policy changes that are good for the stock market. And I think for sure we saw that in 2017 with the expectation of tax cuts, which actually became reality. But then we've got this converse downward pressure that typically comes when you have a midterm election coming. So if you sort of believe all these conventional views, that suggests there is still a bump to come in stocks from the tax cuts that are now in effect. I just have no idea when that might happen. Seems like it should have happened already.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after traveling through Mexico with great fanfare for a month under the Trump administration's watchful eye, nearly 200 Central American migrants attempting to seek asylum in the U.S. were stopped in their tracks when border inspectors said a crossing facility didn't have enough space to accommodate them. Trump vowed last week to stop the group. Republican Congressman Daryl Issa of California spoke about the situation on Fox.
I hope that there really is a line in the sand that finally gets drawn. The president is certainly compassionate, and if there are real asylum seekers that have a valid claim and a reason to come to the United States, great. But it's a fraction of these people, and it habitually is.
The march to the border brings to the end a nearly month-long trip from Central America across Mexico. National Security Advisor John Bolton says that the U.S. is not yet certain whether North Korea will actually give up its weapons of mass destruction. Ahead of a potential meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, Bolton indicated that inspections of nuclear sites will be necessary before U.S. sanctions will be relieved. He told Fox he does believe a meeting between Trump and Kim will happen.
I think it is going to happen. The dates and the places are still under discussion. I think the president is eager to do it as soon as possible, but we still need to work out the precise parameters.
Bolton also called for the release of three U.S. citizens currently being held in North Korea. A coordinated double suicide bombing hit central Kabul today, killing 25 people, including an AFP photographer and a cameraman for a local TV station. The attack was the latest in a relentless string of deadly large-scale bombings and assaults that have struck in Kabul and elsewhere in Afghanistan so far this year. ISIS has claimed responsibility for the attack.
I'm Peter, by the way.
Dr. Strange.
Oh, using your made-up names. Then I am Spider-Man.
Disney superhero epic Avengers Infinity War set new records for the biggest domestic and global opening of all time this weekend, bringing in $250 million in the U.S. and Canada and $630 million around the world. And the movie has yet to open in China, the world's number two market. With this latest release, Disney now has 9 of the 10 biggest box office domestic openings of all time.
My son was so desperate to see it, he went last night, even though other friends couldn't go.
Okay.
Because he was afraid that on Instagram, as you're swiping pictures to mm-hmm. the left to scroll through somebody's photos,
okay.
somebody was going to put a meme in there buried in the pictures indicating the spoiler and what happened at the end. So he was afraid he was going to fall for that.
Did he like it?
He got home too late for me
okay.
to see, so I haven't had
the All right,
we'll
check
yet.
In tomorrow.
I'm sure he'll give me a one-word response at about 7 o'clock this morning, like, good. Did you like it? No. Yes.
Teenager.
Uh-huh. Yes. Man, a few words. 23 minutes after the hour. It's time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The best place to start or grow your business is at michiganbusiness.org. Contact them today. Convenience stores have traditionally been defined by size, right? The classic one, about 2,400 square feet versus a supermarket, about 40,000 square feet. Yet new upstarts like Choice Market in Denver, Green Zebra Grocery in Portland, Oregon, Foxtrot in Chicago, open long hours and use the same small spaces to offer a wider range of options. More from Jane Black, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal. Jane, what's trending?
You know, it's interesting. Think about a convenience store. What immediately jumps into your head? This sort of dim, ugly place where you get something, a Slim Jim or potato chips or a cheap beer, and you're just getting it there because it's open or because it's close and there really isn't anywhere else to go. You're not going because you want to. Well, I think a bunch of entrepreneurs and people like me who really didn't want to buy the Slim Jim or the cheap beer, you know, they're starting to change our idea of convenience stores and put ones in cities and in other places that offer a much wider array of foods and drinks and even super trendy stuff like kombucha on tap, things like that, hipstery stuff, but also just really much better options of the things you would find at a regular convenience store, sort of, you know, sort of a modern version of them.
What's wrong with Slim Jims?
I mean, I'm just not a Slim Jim girl. I'm sure that there are plenty of people who are going to send me hate mail now, and that's okay. But, you know, I mean, I definitely think we have always seen as a country in America that there was a trade-off between convenience and, you know, quote, good.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I think what's trying to happen is that people are seeing that there doesn't have to be that trade-off, and can we make something that's super convenient also super good?
Mm. Wow. We're speaking with Jane Black, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled Welcome to the New Convenience Store. So explain what a Choice Market, as it's called, in Denver offers.
Okay, so Choice Market is in downtown Denver, and, you know, you walk in and you really don't know exactly what it is. Is it a grocery store? Is it a restaurant? Is it fast casual? Because you can go in, you can go up to a kiosk, order a sandwich, you can customize it completely. You can say, I want vegan cheese, or, you know, I want extra meat, or whatever it is, and then they bring it out to you just like you would at a fast casual restaurant where you see them making it down the line. But then they also have pasta, they have milk, they have yogurt, they have craft beers on tap that you can take away in a, wow, in a growler. So they kind of have everything, and they're open 24 hours a day. And, you know, they say, I said, well, aren't you a grocery store? And they said, no, we're a convenience store.
Jane Black, contributing reporter to the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you run a small business, you know there's nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. And for a limited time, get up to 35% off select PCs with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, April 30th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Central American migrants at the U.S. border are told they can't be processed right now because of a lack of capacity. T-Mobile buying Sprint for $26 billion. Chicago today starts offering ID cards for illegal immigrants that will allow them to vote. U.S. wants proof North Korea is dismantling its nukes. Schools scramble over vaping products. And what happened to the tree on White House property that the French president planted last week? It's gone. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Cape or ranch, colonial or contemporary, the house is the American idol. But now, demographic, political, and meteorological changes are calling the future of the single-family house into question. USA Today national correspondent Rick Hampson has been looking into it. Rick, what have you found?
Gordon, it's under siege on at least two or three different fronts. We tend to think of the single-family house as something that people aspire to and assume will always be there. But you've got three things happening. After Harvey in Houston, critics are questioning whether or not there had been too much development of the plain outside downtown Houston, with the result that the floodwaters were made worse. And the issue becomes, should we build, you know, more densely multi-unit housing in fewer of these houses that sprawl across the landscape and are accompanied by highways serving all of them? Then the second area would be California, where housing is just basically becoming unaffordable for wide swaths of the middle class. And so there's a Senate bill that's been proposed that would allow developers to essentially override local zoning and build much denser housing, apartment houses, multifamily houses, housing, near transit stations and along bus lines in areas that might be zoned single-family residential. There they call the movement YIMBY, yes in my backyard, instead of NIMBY, no in my backyard. And then the third factor are the millennials. For years now, certain urban planners have been arguing that millennials really don't want to live in the suburbs that they grew up in. They're too boring. The millennials want to live in the city where there's good bars and restaurants and culture and excitement. But now the question becomes not so much do the millennials want to live in the suburbs, but can they afford to buy a house in the suburbs?
Yeah. The argument made by at least some, right, is that sprawl makes things more affordable to a certain extent.
This had never occurred to me until speaking to a guy named Joel Kotkin, who teaches at Chapman University in Orange County, California. Started a think tank in Houston. And he says that the only way that middle class and lower middle class can afford housing is when new stuff is built far out in unoccupied territory, as opposed to closer suburbs where land's more expensive, buildings more expensive, and thus rents or house prices are more expensive. So he says if you stop sprawl, housing prices throughout the metro area goes up, and you have more homelessness and more people who can't afford a home.
We're speaking with Rick Hampson, national correspondent at USA Today. He's written a comprehensive piece entitled "The Single Family House, an American Icon, Faces an Uncertain Future." Who else is, proposing some answers or solutions here?
Well, the environmental movement would say that more sprawl is suicidal because you're simply increasing your carbon footprint. You're worsening the risk of flooding. And they would say that we should live in denser communities, which also has the advantage of more mass transit, more use of mass transit, and a situation in which you might know each other, might interact with each other a little bit more. But the market doesn't seem to want that, because in much of the Sun Belt, outside the Northeast, we'll say, people still want a house and a yard and some space around it. And if the market is left to its own devices, that seems to be the way we'll go. We'll just continue to sprawl across the landscape like we always have.
Mm. Wow. Where does this go from here, by the way? I think we'll start building things that are, I don't know, smaller?
Funny because you can see even in areas like Houston or Atlanta that a lot of the new housing construction, it looks different.
Okay.
It's taller. It's narrower. It almost reminds me of some of the old kind of the in-city suburbs around Boston, where you'd have these pretty big three-story houses, but they'd have like 2 feet between them and the next house. There was essentially really no side yard. And you're beginning to see that in some of the cities.
Thanks, Rick. USA Today national correspondent Rick Hampson. Thanks for spending time with us. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like some cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Hockey fans will remember that Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans offensive line were the stars of the pregame festivities during the Nashville Predators' run to the Stanley Cup final last year. Well, in case you missed it, the guys are back and have apparently upped their game ahead of last night's Round 2 Game 2 against the Winnipeg Jets. The Titans players pumped up the crowd and chugged Bud Light Tall Boys just as they did a year ago. But then Titans tackle Taylor Lewin took it to a whole new level, went viral as a result, by chugging one of the beers right out of the mouth of a dead catfish.
Can you repeat that line?
I mean, I saw a video of this. A huge catfish. He poured a Bud Light into the catfish's mouth and chugged the beer right out of the catfish's mouth.
He essentially turned the catfish and upside down, holding it by its tail.
Yes.
And the beer came flowing out of the catfish.
It did. Into his mouth and all over him.
Interesting.
Basically, yes. The spectacle was caught on camera, as I said, to the astonishment of the announcing crew. We can only imagine how that must have tasted, but it may have worked as the Predators won the game 5-4 in overtime to even up the series at one game apiece.
Wow.
Now, the other thing that I thought about there, because, the trend these days for beer is, IPAs, right?
Yeah.
And sort of, very flavorful,
yes,
kind of bitter kind of stuff. I would think that would mask somewhat the catfish taste. If there was any residual catfish taste, an IPA or something like that would mask that taste. A Bud Light, I don't think is masking any taste of any kind. You got the full catfish effect pouring that into your mouth. I'm just going to guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you burp later.
Right.
Like,
it's all catfish.
Raw catfish.
Pretty much.
Raw catfish innards.
Yeah.
Right, if I may.
and maybe a little too early for that.
By the way, they won the game.
They did win the game.
So that means
we need something more.
They got to come back.
For next game.
Yeah.
For sure.
By the way, it's news to me, actually, that the Predators went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year.
Yeah. I've forgotten that myself.
I think I completely forgotten that. No disrespect to the Nashville Preds.
Too busy wallowing in my Mets.
I Yes.
Met sorrow from last year. And you'd imagine, Gordon, that the last thing an Uber driver would want to receive as a tip would be a scratch-off lottery ticket. Not the case for one driver in Colorado, however, who eventually turned a ticket he received as a tip into a huge windfall. The Colorado Lottery said the Uber driver, identified only as James P., said a passenger gave him a $5 Super Special Ultimate Bingo Scratch ticket as a tip, and the ticket ended up winning him $30, which he used to buy six more scratch-off tickets. He said the first win led to a six-week winning streak.
What?
That culminated in a Super Special Ultimate Bingo Scratch ticket winning him $140,000.
Wow.
The top prize last week. James visited lottery headquarters on Thursday to collect his winnings. He said he hopes to be able to tell the passenger about the good luck that came of the unusual tip and plans to use part of the money to upgrade the vehicle he uses as a driver for Uber and Lyft.
No kidding.
See, I wouldn't want that to get out. I wouldn't want to tell the driver, or anybody else for that matter, that that's how I got this money, because that's going to make other people think that a scratch-off lottery ticket is an acceptable tip to give to drivers, which in most cases is not.
How about this guy? It was a six-week winning
streak. Yeah, he just kept buying, and you know, he'd use the winnings from one to buy more,
that's,
and he kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling.
Wow.
Yeah,
I won $2 once.
Yeah.
That's the only streak I got going.
Did you put it back into some more tickets, or did you pocket that big prize?
No, I think I went and bought another one.
Yeah.
Just to quickly end the streak.
Right, that was the end of the story.
Yeah, so I won one in a row one time. Yes. Actually, I'd probably purchased four tickets that night, and one of them won $2.
Right,
that was
right,
probably my luck.
End
6-week winning streak.
Not bad.
Wow. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for joining us, and welcome into Monday. Health and education officials across the country are raising alarms over wide underage use of e-cigarettes and other vaping products. The devices heat liquid into an inhalable vapor that's sold in sugary flavors like mango and mint, and often with the addictive drug nicotine. A story on sfgate.com says they're marketed to smokers as a safer alternative to traditional cigarettes, but officials say they're making their way to teens with surprising ease. A new wave of smaller vapes has swept through schools in recent months, replacing bulkier e-cigarettes from the past. Vaping devices are notoriously difficult to detect for schools, often leaving behind only a quick puff of vapor and a light, fruity scent. One of the more popular ones right now goes by the brand name Juul. That's J-U-U-L. I know it's popular in my kids' schools. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump's new chief diplomat is emphasizing the administration's view of Iran as a danger to the Middle East as a deadline looms for the U.S. to decide whether to remain in the nuclear deal. In Iman yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo called Iran the greatest sponsor of terrorism in the world and added that the U.S. is determined to make sure it never possesses a nuclear weapon. Since officially taking the post last week, Pompeo has been in Brussels, Riyadh, and Tel Aviv. T-Mobile has agreed to acquire Sprint for $26 billion, marking the third time in the last 4 years the two rivals have attempted to merge. T-Mobile CEO John Legere, who will become CEO of the combined company, says it will have lower costs and better quality.
We plan to compete aggressively in this converged marketplace because this combined company will have the scale and resources to bring real competition and unmatched value across the United States.
A combined T-Mobile Sprint would be the third largest wireless company after Verizon Communications and AT&T. It would still have to pass muster with antitrust regulators. Ronnie Jackson, a Navy Rear Admiral who abandoned his nomination to be Secretary of Veterans Affairs amid numerous allegations, will reportedly not return to the job of President Trump's personal physician, but will remain on the White House medical staff. Politico reports that Jackson has returned to a job with the White House medical unit. Sean Conley, a Navy veteran who took the role of Trump's personal physician after Jackson was nominated by Trump, will remain in that role. Get ready for a little bit more pain at the pump this summer. Crude oil prices are at their highest level in more than 3 years and expected to climb higher, pushing up gasoline prices along the way. The national average now $2.81 a gallon, up from $2.39 a year ago. Few fifth-round NFL draft picks rack up endorsement deals, but Seahawks linebacker Shaquem Griffin is quite the exception. Griffin already has Nike, Bose, and JCPenney lined up. The interest in Griffin isn't surprising. As a one-handed football player, Griffin has inspired people everywhere for his ability to overcome extreme adversity and make it to the NFL. His Seattle jersey is also expected to be a top seller.
Very nice. It's a good story.
It's an unbelievable story.
He's got to make the team, though.
Yeah,
right?
True. But, hey, you take the endorsement deals already? That's pretty cool.
Right. I mean, everybody's behind this guy for sure. Glad you're with us. French President Emmanuel Macron celebrated the special relationship between the U.S. and France during his state visit to Washington last week by planting a tree with President Trump on the grounds of the White House. But now the oak sapling is gone, at least temporarily. White House photographers noticed this. Mystery ensued. Reuters said this tree actually has to be placed in quarantine because it is mandatory for any living organism imported to the U.S. The tree from Belleau Wood in France, where almost 2,000 American soldiers died in a World War I battle, had been dug up not long after it was planted and put in quarantine. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.